Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
And I'm Susie Starlight.
Welcome to the Supertone Show.
She came from Greece, she had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that her dad was loaded. I said, in that case, I'll have room and Coca-Cola. She said, fine. And then in 30 seconds time, she said, I wanna live like common people. I wanna do whatever common people do. Wanna sleep with common people. I wanna sleep with common people like you. Or what else could I do? I said, oh, I'll see what I can do. I took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start it somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you got no money. And she just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah. I can't see anyone else smiling. Are you sure? You wanna live like common people. You wanna see whatever common people see. Wanna sleep with common people. You wanna sleep with common people like me. But she didn't understand. And she just smiled and held my hand. I went to flat your barber shop. I cut your hair and get a job. I smoked some facts and played some pool. Pretend you never went to school. Still you'll never get it right. It's when you're laid in bed at night, watching roaches climb the wall. If you called your dad, he could stop it all, yeah.
Pretend
Pulp, Common People, the lead single from their fifth studio album, Different Class, released on the 22nd of May in 1995 on Island Records. It reached number two in the UK singles chart and became a defining track of the Britpop movement, as well as Pulp's signature song. Mm. Oh, and it debuted at number one, the album, in the UK album charts. Congratulations, guys and gals.
You'll never understand how it feels to live your life with no meaning or control and with nowhere left to go. You're amazed that they exist and they burn so bright, while you can only wonder why. Every time I hear that song, I'm floored by the depth of its lyrics, and it makes me a bit teary, tell you the truth, because, you know, it is a fantastic perspective and a magnifying glass of the human condition and the difference between the rich and poor. And I look at it and, you know, it's Jarvis Cocker. This is a genius piece of writing. The song is great. Of course it's great. It sounds great, you know. It's produced by Chris Thomas, of course, who's worked with Floyd and
Procol Harum.
Yeah, and the Beatles. Apparently, George Martin wrote him a letter and said, "I'm off on holiday, and the Beatles may be needing you." And
I remember that.
Yeah, that's right. And he ended up working, although uncredited. But it was, you know, and he's worked with loads of great people. He's worked with Roxy Music, of course, which is, and they all seem to tie in, these bands, you know, because the great production and the great songs, there's a mesh of stuff going on, and it never ceases to, you know, amaze me, the small pool of music that we listen to. This is you and I, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and even though it's a huge pool of music, it's actually small, because the connections, there's a connection with somebody either we know, or a connection with a producer that we love, or, you know, something going on. And, you know, it's incredible. Anyway.
It feels a bit like family, actually.
It does.
And some people we've met and some people we haven't. And that's really up to the universe, isn't it? And whether there's a need to do that. This whole song, do you remember the video? It was Sadie Frost was in it, and she played the sort of rich girl.
I can't remember it, no.
And it was, but it was inspired by, Jarvis went to Central St. Martin's College of Art and Design in London, which is the place to go, isn't it? And he was, I think they had a 2-week off. He was studying film, and you could, for 2 weeks, you could swap your discipline. And so he ended up doing sculpture and ended up meeting up a Greek art student who's the character.
Oh, right, okay.
That he wrote this about.
Ah.
And I've met people like that. I'm sure you have too.
I have indeed.
And it's an interesting experience, really. And they say it's like a critique. They call it, was it class tourism or slumming it? When sort of like people with money sort of hang out to try and feel cool and get that edge, hanging out with the common people. That's really what that was about. It's intriguing though. So today. The show, the reason why we've started with Pulp is not just because they're a great band, it's because the link to us is Sheffield.
Sheffield.
Because we're doing a Starlight and Campbell UK tour this September, October, promoting our new album, Starlight One. And one of the dates on our tour happens to be on Thursday, the 12th of October, at the Greystones in Sheffield.
Indeed it is.
So what I love about these shows, though, is that when you start to look into the cities of where we're going to gig, all these stories jump out at you out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating.
I mean, Sheffield has come up with, as you'll see later on, some amazing bands. And the problem when you start looking at these cities like Manchester or London, even Ross on Wye last week, I mean, you know,
and
a
Manchester,
couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
that's right,
was,
and Manchester, yeah.
Ross on Wye.
There's a feast of artists and a feast of musicians around these areas, you know. And Sheffield is particularly brilliant because, you know, it was the home, as you'll hear later on, of the electronic movement.
It's fascinating. Mm. So Pulp performed in Sheffield in 1978, by Jarvis, who was then 15, and Peter Dalton, who was a tender age of 14.
Wow.
And a couple of years later, their musical style was described as a cross between ABBA and The Fall. Now, it's quite interesting, actually, because when you look, and you know, as you listen to the show over the weeks, I'm really fascinated by how bands start out. And a local fanzine said that he thought they were a bit eclectic because he said it seemed as if they listened to the John Peel show every night in an endless quest to find some influences, you know. And I think they experimented quite a bit. They sent a demo tape in to John Peel in 1981 and he gave them a Peel session. That is so cool.
Well, that is. It's a giant leap forward.
That is.
A giant step for man.
A giant leap forward. But with bands as well, you know, you've got to find your sound, haven't you? And you've got to find the sound where the synergy with the band members, with the zeitgeist of the time, with people who connect with you at the time, and they change quite a lot from pop to romantic folk. They're all over the place. And Jarvis Cocker's a bit of a character, you can tell anyway. I mean, he loved Scott Walker.
Of course. Yeah.
And I love this story that apparently he was trying to impress a girl at a party once, doing a Spider-Man impression, and he fell out of the window. It's not funny, but it is. But he ended up in hospital. And I remember he actually had to go on stage in a wheelchair for a while.
No.
Silly fool.
Well, I saw him live. I thought they were a great band, and he's such a fantastic frontman because he's an anti-frontman, isn't he? He looks like he shouldn't be a frontman because the way he looks like really geeky with the glasses and all that. But he's got an amazing amount of charisma on stage. Absolutely amazing. And he's almost like one of the quintessential Englishmen, isn't he? You know when you see him,
yeah.
He's quintessentially English. And
Do you think he smells of Earl Grey?
More than likely, yeah. I think he probably more smells of a nice pint of bitter.
a bitter, darling. But I think Jarvis actually is one of these people in the British music scene. That's a comfort to me that he exists. He's like a baby Bowie in a way, you know, when people show signs of he's curious and he's interested in stuff and he goes off snouting around, isn't he, and looking for different perspectives on life and he reads a lot and he was in the Scott Walker documentary.
He was indeed, yes, quite extensively. Which is a documentary. If you've not seen it, you must see that.
Is it 30th century? Is it 30th or 20th? No, 30th. I think it is. Yeah. Produced by David Bowie about Scott Walker.
Absolutely incredible.
Got feelings in your heart. Don't let fear of feeling fool you. What you see sets you apart. And there's nothing here to bind you. It's no way for life to start. Do you know that tonight the streets are tonight, the streets
shines around you. No, nothing ever mattered more than not doubting the tonight, the streets are ours. So much there to heal, dear, and make tears things of the past. But do you know that tonight the streets are ours? Tonight the streets are ours. And these lights in our street are ours. They tell no lies.
Richard Hawley, tonight the streets are ours, from his fifth studio album, Ladies Bridge, released in the UK on the 20th of August 2007 and on the 9th of October in the USA on the Mute record label. Now, I think the production could be a bit bigger there. I think they need...
a bit more hairspray.
Yeah.
Well, it's not glossy, I mean.
It's absolutely huge. It's that bloody female choir at the end. Woo! It would give Phil Spector a run for his money there. The thing about Richard Hawley, though, he always sounds a bit bored when he's singing and to me. And but, you know, a huge successful artist. We've got a couple of his records on vinyl. It really is another great British artist. And, of course, a connection with Jarvis Cocker and Pulp.
It's all in there. And but he's someone else as well.
Ah, right. Well, okay, I'm sure you're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember him in Long Pigs. That was the first time. I do indeed. Because it was like a Britpop band. And I remember him from that. I remember the band anyway. I didn't know he was in Long Pigs until we sort of knew more about Rich Hall when he started to get his solo career. Anyway, mate Andy Seward, of course, who's from near Sheffield, Rotherham to be exact, who produced my second solo record. Great bass player and a great producer. He knows him. And he knows Richard Hawley.
So I remember now that Andy said that he knew him. That's kind of, he's been around.
And Andy's even more miserable.
How much?
Too bloody much. That's, he takes misery to a new level, Andy. But he's a great guy, though, really great guy.
I'm not saying so, but it is funny. I mean, with Richard, it feels like I've known him, but we haven't met yet. It's like we know loads of people, who... It's funny. I'm sure at some point, some gig.
I'm sure we will do because, you know, he kicks on. And, of course, he's a filed artist because we're artists.
Well, this is what my point was, yeah.
For file guitars up in Penrith there, and he's a filed artist as well. So there's allegedly a big celebration, 50th year of file guitars
true.
This year. Yeah,
there's a big anniversary.
It's all happening around about the time that we're in the UK, so we don't know.
We don't know what's going on.
Yeah, so we might actually meet him up there. But there's some great artists who are John Spaeth and some great file artists, you know. But a lot of folkies, you know. Martin Carthy and all that, Carry On, that crowd.
Yeah.
Martin Simpson, you know. The monsters, mega guitar players, you know. But unlike, you know, I'm an electric guitar player and bash the acoustic guitar, as does Richard Hawley. But anyway, that's another thing.
What was really sweet about this, another connection as well with Richard Hawley, is that he was in a band before Long Pigs called Tree Bound Story. And at 19 years of age, he recorded a John Peel session with the band.
No!
See, there's John Peel again. John, we miss you, man.
The man.
And thank you so much for your love of music and people, because really he connected so many. He was like the matchmaker, wasn't he, really?
Absolutely.
So this song tonight's The Streets Are Ours, it was chosen as the title track for the Oscar-nominated 2010 Banksy film Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Oh.
And it premiered at the Sundance Film Festival as well. It was recorded at Yellow Arch Studios, which I checked it out yesterday, actually. It's in Sheffield. It's the birthplace of the Arctic Monkeys as well.
Ah.
And under one roof, you can record, you can film, you can write, and you can have a pint.
Is that right?
Yeah.
One of those great, yeah.
One of those all-in-one places, which I love.
Absolutely.
The sound of that. And also Axis Studios in Sheffield. And this album follows his 2005 Mercury Music Prize-nominated album, Cole's Corner.
Mm.
So, isn't it funny? And he's collaborated with loads of people. He's with Lisa Marie Presley, of all people.
Blimey.
Shakespeare's sister, The Arctics. Manic Street Preachers, Elbow, Dwayne Eddy, and Paul Weller. And altogether, you know, he's released 8 studio albums, been nominated for a Mercury Prize twice, and once for a Brit Award. So
fantastic.
Well done, Richard.
Absolutely.
I said, who's that girl there? I wonder what went wrong so that she had to roam the streets. She doesn't do major credit cards, I doubt she does receipts. It's all not quite legitimate. And what a scummy man. Just give him half a chance, I bet he'll rob you if he can. Can see it in his eyes, yeah, that he's got a driving ban amongst some other offences. And I've seen him with girls of the night, and he told Roxanne to put on her red light. They're all infected, but he'll be alright, 'cause he's a scumbag, don't you know? I said he's a scumbag, don't you know? Position. I'm sorry, love, I'll have to turn you down. Oh, we must be up to summer. What are the chances? Sure, it's more than likely. I've got a feeling in my stomach. I start to wonder what your story might be. What your story might be. Yeah, 'cause they said it changes when the sun goes down. Yeah, they said it changes when the sun goes down. And they said it changes when the sun goes down. Around here. Around. Here comes a fourth Monteo. Isn't he Mr. Inconspicuous? And he don't even have to say oh. She's in a stance ready to get picked up. Bet she's delighted when she sees him pulling in and giving her the eye. Because she must be fucking freezing. Scantily clad beneath the clear night sky. Dust up in the winter knowing. They said it changes when the sun goes down. Yeah, they said it changes when the sun goes down. And they said it changes when the sun goes down. Around here. They said it changes when the sun goes down. Over the river going out of town. And they said it changes when the sun goes down. Around here. Around. Scummy man, just give him half a chance, I bet he'll rob you if he can. And see it in his eyes, yeah, that he's got a nasty plan. I hope you're not involved at all.
Arctic Monkeys, When the Sun Goes Down, also known as Scummy Man, released on the 16th of January in 2006 as the second single from the debut studio album, Whatever People Say I Am, That's What I'm Not. And it was released on Domino Records. It followed the debut single, I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor, to number one on the UK singles charts. What a song.
Well, what a lyricist, another one. I mean, you know, he paints a picture with those words and it's so northern. You know, she must be fucking freezing, scantily clad under the midnight sky. You know, it really, what a great, great lyric. You know, just so it puts you exactly in Sheffield. It puts you exactly where he was brought up, and it's incredible. I mean, he's been incredibly successful as old Alex Turner, who's the lead singer, of course.
Yeah,
he's won 7 Brit Awards, an Ivor Novello Award, and a Mercury Music Prize, and he's been nominated 6 times. I mean. And some friends of ours, the Horrors, who were out of London, I don't really remember the Horrors, but a great band, you know, and they hung out with him an awful lot and with Alex Turner, and they really rated him. You know, what he is, he's an amazing artist, amazing lyricist. And the thing that always gets me about that is the diabolical guitar sound. But it's awful, but perfect. Because it's a really clean Strat through, so it's like just on the edge of breakup, and you'd never play it like that. And at the end, da na 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 ring, and it grates on me every time I hear it. But if it wasn't in that song like that, and the sound of the band didn't sound so attacky and trashy and garagey, it wouldn't have that same impact, you know.
No.
And later on, Josh Homme, he produced one of the records, and that's a great record. I just can't remember the name of the album. If you've played some enough over the next few weeks. But it went a lot darker, you know, and I went to see them. I saw them at Leeds Festival.
But did you?
Yeah, and they were great, you know. They were really good. But it was that dark period when Homme had been working with them. And but they were really, really great. And that year, Radiohead were on. And everybody had come to see the Arctic Monkeys, right?
Yeah.
And they were all that sort of younger sort of, yeah, well, you know, sort of Yorkshire, that sort of laddo types, you know. And when Radiohead were on, all people were walking out of the gig, you know. So I got right to the very front of Radiohead because everybody had disappeared. Well, not everybody. I mean, it was like 50,000 people there, but you know what I mean? It was amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's her story.
Well, it's a bloke band.
Yeah.
And I've got to confess, that's probably the first time I've really listened to it. The lyrics and everything. And I feel a bit, it's really deep. It's kind of got me, actually.
Yeah.
Weird. Because, like, I have a friend in Manchester, Sarah Hawkins, and she's total Arctic Monkeys fans. And I never got into them at all. And now just listening to that song there, because I've changed, my musical tastes have changed. I'm a bass player. I've started, you know, and I do love rocking out, but it's like I feel like I can relate to them now. Isn't that weird? And isn't that wonderful, that music, that later in life or in different parts of your life, you can suddenly connect with a song that you maybe didn't 20 years ago or something, just because you're different now.
Well, totally. And I think if you've played that on an acoustic guitar, it's a great song, because a great song's always, you can play on an acoustic guitar or a piano on its own. But it's that raw power of that band at that, you know, I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor was a great. So I remember when it came on the radio, I thought, who the fuck is this? And it tore me a new bottom hole, you know, that's the it did. It was like, I thought, holy shit. So I went and found out exactly who it was and bought the record immediately because I thought it was fantastic, you know. Anyway, and there's me, a Pink Floyd lover and all that, and I went and bought this, so.
So the whole link thing is the Sheffield thing. They were formed in 2002. And what I like about the Arctics as well, when I started researching them earlier on today, they used to give out free demo CDs to all their fans. So the fans used to end up putting their music, uploading on social media, and so the fans did a lot of the promotion for them.
Mm.
So it built up, and it kind of was like a new way of getting traction, really, for your band, was just to give out all your music to your fans, and obviously tour a lot. But that's really how it all kind of sparked off for them, really.
Well, became the fastest selling album, didn't it? The British music history.
Yeah.
Selling over 360,000 copies in its first week. And remains the fastest selling debut album by a band of all time. Amazing.
And you know what I love about this song is that we all know what it's like when a place changes, when the sun goes down.
I've never been closer. I tried to understand that certain feeling carved by another's hand. Oh, but it's too late to hesitate. We can't keep on living like this. Leave no trace.
Adorable creatures,
temptation
with unacceptable features. make me an offer that cannot be ignored. So let's head for home now. Everything I have is yours. Oh. Step by step, day by day, every second counts. I can't break.
Temptation, the second single released from their second album, The Luxury Gap, released on the 8th of April, 1983, 80s-tastic, on the Virgin record label. Peaked at number two in the UK singles charts. Now,
I remember these guys on Top of the Pops, love.
Well, you know something, what I love about that song is it is beautifully produced, but it's not a bum-tit song. It's not a boo-ka, boo, which a lot of the electronic bands were, you know, a lot of those, you know, we'll talk about Human League in a second, of course, but it was actually carefully crafted and a bit unsettling, you know, and the whole musical style sort of moves up, all the keys start to move up, and it's sort of talking about sexual tension, isn't it? That's how it was written, rising sexual
naughty boy
tension. That's all right, yeah. But Martin Ware is a friend of mine on Facebook, in actual fact. And
I did
Martin,
not know that.
Ah, well, there you are. Yeah, he's an extremely cool guy. He does a lot of public speaking. There's a lot of great stuff, very outspoken, very well-read.
And really?
He's a cool guy. And, of course, he and Glenn Gregory were responsible for revitalising Tina Turner's career in 1983.
Yeah, that's true, because they did the, Let's Stay Together.
Yeah, that's right.
Song as well.
That was it, yeah. And that's what really did it, you know? Al Green, the Reverend Al Green. And what a great version.
Oh, I know.
What
I remember
a
that.
Great version. I remember seeing her on Top of the Pops, and they were on with him, you know? And she just killed it. She just killed the song. But the production was actually absolutely outstanding, you know? Outstanding. And also, he co-produced Terence Trent D'Arby's Introducing the Hardline, according to Terence Trent D'Arby,
really?
In 1987.
I remember
that.
I got his first album, actually. I was living in London at the time.
Great. That's it, isn't it? Introducing
it
the Hardline.
It was Sign Your
yeah.
Name, wasn't it? Your name,
great.
Across my heart.
Yeah, that's
I want you to be my
baby. Great. And also, he has produced Erasure.
Really?
Say, say, say album in 1994. Yeah, we're big fans of Erasure. I think that they're another great electronic
pop
band.
That's when you just have to get up and dance around the studio, oh, don't you? Yeah, any Erasure song,
right.
Actually.
Without gold lame hot pants, I would say.
Or was that's... it some sort of like blue sequin codpiece or something like that? I don't know.
Andy Bowe, I love Andy Bowe. So outrageously camping. But today, the show is all about Sheffield, and that's why we're playing all these bands from Sheffield, and of course, having 17 and all the guests from Sheffield. Because on the Thursday, the 12th of October, Thursday, we're playing at the Greystones there.
Starlight and Campbell, so, yeah. UK tour.
So buy your tickets now. They're available for sale. You know, I'm really looking forward to doing it. We had a great time last time we were in Sheffield, you know. If I remember correctly, you were singing Ride On Cowboy, which is off the Land
I
of Curiosity.
Was.
And there's all these, there was a big row, like two rows of ladies at the back there that were all, because you do this lasso movement, you know, in a very sort of
I was having a bit of fun
sexual,
with the ladies.
Explicit way, yeah. And they're all, you know, as though they've got lassos and all this. It was outrageous.
It was a new improvised dance move that went through the tour last time we were talking.
It was
UK.
Absolutely fantastic.
We're really, really good fun. I think that's the good thing about some of the songs that we play, you know, or any gig that you go to, you know, when you can really get involved with a band, it's like it's brilliant. I mean, the Sheffield, it's actually quite an inspiration, really. I didn't realise, though, that M17, they took their name from a fictional pop band mentioned in A Clockwork Orange, where the Heaven 17 are at number 4 in the charts with Inside.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now, isn't this funny? There's a little... Have you noticed, though, over the last couple of shows, that a lot of bands are taking their names from films, from books? It's not just opening a magazine, or is it? There's definitely something going on in this kind of thing with bands and films and names.
I've had my hard times in the past. I've been a
The Human League. Love Action. I Believe in Love. Released as a single on the 31st of July in 1981. And it's from their critically acclaimed third studio album, Dare, released on Virgin Records in the UK. And it was released in the USA in mid-1982. It became the band's first top 10 success, peaking at number 3, getting there, in the UK singles chart. And the album went all the way to number 1 in the UK.
Fantastic.
What?
You might find yourself living in a shotgun shack. You may find yourself in another part of the world. What am I getting at here? Talking Heads, released in 1980, right?
Right.
Da-da-da-dum.
Da-da-da-dum.
The bass. Da-da-da. Tina Weymouth.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do. You may find yourself living in... There they are.
And it's also a Duran song. Da-da-da-da. Da-na-na-na.
Well, I wouldn't know about the Duran Ace, you see.
Oh, sorry about that. I got infected by my sister. But I love Duran Duran, by the way.
Talking heads. But whether they stole the bass line or not, I don't know. It actually doesn't matter because it's a great song and I love Phil Oakey's voice. I think it's sensational. I think that, because, I mean, you know, this whole electronic thing was happening in Sheffield and I remember reading in the Melody Maker at the time, which was, if you think back, it was like a proper printed publication. Not, it doesn't exist anymore. Sounds, Melody Maker, NME were the three big ones in the UK.
Yeah.
And I remember reading the fact there were droves, the train to Sheffield from London was full of A&R executives.
Really?
Absolutely packed, yeah, because they all wanted to go up to Sheffield to find out what was going on because it was just absolutely amazing. You know, the Human League, Heaven 17, all these characters were just incredible, you know? Unbelievable. And they're all connected, aren't they? Because Martin Ware from Heaven 17 was in the Human League.
Indeed. I think, wasn't it, they wanted to get Greg in as a lead singer or something, if I remember correctly, and ended up, anyway, he was, this guy was a photographer at the time, so he ended up, the guy from Heaven 17, mm-hmm. so they ended up choosing Phil Oakey to front the band.
Instead.
Mm. Photographers. Again. It's like, what's going on? But I remember the video on Top of the Pops. Because I was just working out, I was 15, 14, 15 at the time when this came out. And I remember them, it was a Don't You Want Me, I remember the girls, they were still at school at the time.
Yeah.
And there was a scene in a petrol station about Don't You Want Me, Baby. Mm-hmm. And I just remember them sort of like, because we were all wearing those kind of shirts and the haircuts and everything at the time. I mean, it's just so funny. And I've got a younger sister and she was completely obsessed, like with Duranis and all the New Romantic stuff. So half the bedroom was divided and I literally had to make it, because I shared a room with her. And literally I had a line and everything was covered with Duran Duran posters and Human League, you know, all the kind of...
And what was on your side? Come on.
Postcards, I wrote some poems, I had a nice helium balloon, I remember, that I really liked, so I stuck that on the wall. Just different things, I didn't do that.
Oh, you are so beautifully alternative, I love that about you.
No, I didn't really go in for all that, really, because, so music was my best friend at the time, and I wasn't really into, like, the people who wrote the music. I was into the music, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
I just wanted to know. So it's only recently, since I met you, actually, that I've had to find out what people's names are. Because I wasn't really into, like, knowing too much about them. It's like, for me, you meet in the music. That's really what it's all about. And then if you get to know them as people and you like them, and you're inspired by them as well personally, that's even better.
Well, that's right. I mean, I remember watching as well, talking, just coming back to the electronic thing.
Yeah.
OMD were talking about the beginning and Gary Newman and how he took off and all that, all around about this time. But, of course, it was all about these analogue synthesizers, which we're using a lot now on our new record, Starlight One.
Yeah.
You know, drum machines and all that sort of thing with our, together with our fantastic drummer, Ugo Danin, who's working with us now.
It's exciting.
From Porto in Portugal, yeah. But one of the most notable guitar sounds on this particular recording makes use of a pitch-to-voltage converter, which, of course, is a thing that happens in analog synths, an envelope shaper on the Roland System 700, And Joe Callis' guitar string was fed into the synth and used to shape and trigger the sounds, producing an unusual choppy strumming synth patch. But
what?
On our new record,
yeah,
we have done a very similar thing using the plasma rack. And you're going to have to wait to hear that. Because when you hear the plasma rack, you're going to go, oh my God, what's that?
And gravity won't pull you through. You know you're missing out on something. Well, that something depends on you. All I'm saying, it takes a lot to love you.
All I'm doing,
you know it's true.
All I mean now,
there's one thing, yes, one thing that turns this
See, The Look of Love, released as their third single from their debut studio album, The Lexicon of Love.
Love.
On the 7th of May 1982 in the UK and August in the USA on the Neutron, Mercury, Vertigo, Polygram and Philips record labels. It was the band's highest charting hit in the UK, peaking at number 4 in the UK singles charts and went straight to number 1 in the UK albums charts, number 1 in the US Billboard Dance Disco charts. Now then.
Yes, darling.
My first CD I ever bought this.
Really?
It is indeed. Because at the time, I was pursuing Euro rock, really, or Euro pop. That's when we got signed to Line Records, a.k.a. Polydor in Germany. And it was a time of this. Well, it was this time, and this show, even though it's about Sheffield and you know bands from Sheffield, it's also has to have links to back to us and our history as well. You know, so am I proud of this album? yes, I'm proud I've got it, because it was a magnificent production. Trevor Horn, it was the second album he'd ever really produced. First one was Dollar. I remember Dollar.
I remember Dollar.
And the second one was this. And the sound, I mean, that kick drum, it just jumps out the speakers and it's bludgeoning you. There's strings going on. It's all Fairlight, of course, which is, Fairlight was a device that was a very early sampler, hugely expensive at the time. There wasn't many kicking around. He had one of four only in the UK.
Really?
Yeah. And he went on, of course, because this is after he was in Yes, because he joined Yes as a bass player, and then he went on to produce Dollar and then on to ABC. So, but Martin Fry, you know, great singer. He was from Stretford, Martin Fry, in actual fact.
Really?
Yeah, but the band essentially are from...
Sheffield,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, from Sheffield, yeah. So anyway, that's my connection with ABC, Martin Fry, and the lovely Trevor Horn, one of the best producers the UK has ever seen.
Have you noticed that that this show is really like 80s-tastic today? Because Sheffield seems to have really... It is the synth pop. It is synth, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
With that, and obviously there's pop as well, but yeah, it just.
Well, it's
just
indie
feels,
and synth, that's right.
Yeah,
and,
indie
you know,
synth.
Arctic, you know.
And
I
the
mean,
Arctics, yeah.
Tremendous attitude.
Yeah, I like that. They were talking about ABC as well. This guy was saying from Cream magazine. Remember Cream?
I do.
He just says the album's a piece of sumptuous kitsch. The whole shebang is so florid. So exaggerated, so damned catchy. You want to hear The Look of Love a second time before it's even half over. It's a casserole of about 40 different pop hits and advertising jingles that you may feel guilty for falling for it.
A misty memory.
I, Monster. Who is she? Slow Down, number one. From the second album, Never Odd or Even, originally released in 2003 on Dharma Records, and just re-released again this year on limited edition purple vinyl as well, just sold out.
That blew me away. I have never heard that before. Never. And you put it on earlier on in the other room.
I did.
Who the flying fuck is that? What a great vocal. And the synths, it's beautifully produced. Ah. And what a magnificent soundscape. And from 2003, I'm beating myself. There we are, because I've never listened to it before. Stop slamming, you need to beat yourself up. Oh, no, don't beat myself up. I'm beating myself up. It's terrifying I've not heard that. It's one of my favourite records I've heard,
Isn't it eerie?
Yeah.
It's so full of feeling. It's I, Monster, and an English electronic music duo formed in Sheffield in 97. Record producers Dean Honer and Gerald Gosling. And I've got to thank the guy at Polar Bear Records in Manchester because he turned me on to these guys.
Wow.
And I bought their album. I have it's a Dense Swarm of Ancient Stars, because I love that Sucker for Your Sound single. And I just love them. I don't know much about them, but I just really, really love I, Monster, because they're fresh and they sync a lot of music. They don't do a lot of chart stuff now, but they've been in like films and Shaun of the Dead, in Top Gear and Hustle, you know. So their music, you can hear it on ads and stuff.
Mm.
But so that was it this week. It's Sheffield, love.
Yep, all about Sheffield. We're playing there on Thursday, the 12th of October.
The Greystones. Come and see us. Get your tickets early.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great show. Looking forward to the tour. It's fantastic. Remember to check us out on vibes.starlight-campbell.com.
And for your tour tickets, it's starlight-campbell.com, our main website. You'll find out where we're playing, the dates we're playing, and also our new album, Starlight One, is now available for pre-order. Check it out. See you next week.